So this is Susie with Merp, and I am standing here with Mike Martin from All That Remains.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Welcome to Portland.
Thanks.
So we saw you guys in 2011 and interviewed Phil Labonte. Have you been back since then?
Yeah, we were here like 3 months ago with Machine Head, Death Clock, and Black Dahlia Murder.
I missed that show.
Yeah, so this is a quick return for us, actually.
Nice. You are touring in support of your new album that came out in November of 2012 called A War You Cannot Win.
Yes.
Are you pleased with the reception it's getting?
Yeah, it's been great so far.
Tour.
The first single was our first number one song, so you can't really complain. Every show we've been playing has been great. The response has been good. You know, everybody on, you know, the internet, people hate everything, but we're used to that, so it's no big deal.
How's the tour going so far?
Excellent. It's our second time touring with Hell Yeah, so it's really cool. You just kind of show up and you know everybody already, and the shows are good. It's just one of those easy tours. It's like every show's cool and just good.
You came from Sacramento yesterday?
Spokane.
Spokane.
Yeah, that was one of the best of the whole tour, actually.
Really?
Yeah, Spokane and Missoula, Montana.
It's kind of random.
Unbelievable crowds.
So I know the story of how you came into the band, that Oli was your guitar teacher.
Yeah.
Is it true that you kind of gave him the heads up on the spot that he has?
Yeah, because I tried out first while I was 19, I think. And I tried out, and Oli was teaching me already, but I just started taking lessons. So when Phil showed me the songs, I was like, wow, I can't play that. So I referred Oli. I was like, you know, my guitar teacher's really good. You should have him come and play. So Oli joined the band, like, right on the spot, pretty much. And then after taking lessons for, like, 2 more years from Oli, once they had problems with their other guitar player, by that time I couldn't play the stuff, so.
And that was 2004?
No, 2002.
Okay.
Yeah, so I joined in 2002.
So is that a phone call from Oli saying, hey, dude, guess what?
No, I was friends with Phil, so I just, we were always out, just at the bar or at a, you know, somewhere just hanging around. And when that guy, the other guy left the band, it was as simple as just, like, you should just join the band because you can play the stuff now. And I was like, oh, okay.
Hang out anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're at a strip club.
We have lots of them here. I don't know if you know that. It's like the most.
Yeah, I heard there was some sort of after party at one time.
Probably.
I will not go because I'm boring.
I'm boring too. Do you still learn from Oli?
No. Well, I do. Just being in a band with him, you can't help it, because every time we write a new record, he always comes up with, like, the most music. So every time we write a record, it's like a learning experience, because you're just trying to digest all this new material. So not many people are lucky to play in a band with their guitar teacher, so it's pretty cool. So
that is
I should practice more, and I don't, but I should be taking advantage of the situation more than I do.
I was wondering if it ever flips. You know, does the teacher ever become the student?
No, definitely not in this case.
So you have a female bass player.
Yes.
Are there challenges with touring with a female bass player at all?
Nope. That's why she's in the band, because there was no challenge touring with her at all. When she initially filled in, she was so nice and easy to have around. We were just like, you should just join the band. And that was it. It's a piece of cake. She's always been one of the guys. It doesn't even feel like there's a girl in the band.
That's awesome. Yeah, when I saw you guys at Rockfest last year, she was great. Really, really great.
Yeah, she's really great on stage.
She is.
She's a rocker.
Yeah. Do you guys record on the road?
No. Nah, we always kind of, like, before the tour starts, we're like, oh, we should try to come up with some stuff on this tour, like on the bus or something. It never happens.
I just interviewed Pepper Keenan, and he said that every day they write a riff, and then when they get back, they just play them all and decide what to do with them.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a good idea, but this is such a weird combination of people in this band that everybody kind of drifts off and does their own thing all day long. No one wants to sit on the bus all day together. You know, I was at the gym all day. Ollie's usually in the corner practicing guitar somewhere. Jeannie's reading in the corner somewhere. Jason's tapping everything in sight. Phil's on the internet pissing somebody off.
He's a Facebook friend of mine. that was one of my questions, is I know that fitness is really important to you. How do you do that on the road?
Right here. I have this, which we bring in our trailer. So on nice days like this, I can just sit outside the parking lot and do it. And most days, when we're in cities that are as cool as this, I went to 24-hour fitness right down the road. So most days I just go and find a place to go to, and that's how it kills a couple hours during the afternoon, makes the day go by a lot faster.
Our waterfront's really pretty. It would have been nice for you to take a walk around.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Really, I'm more of an indoor air conditioned kind of guy.
Yeah,
I'm not a nature guy.
So I was thinking today when I was listening to your new release and looking at the lyrics, do you ever write a song that you're like, this song is so full of love, and then Phil comes out and he's like, you know, F the world. Does that ever happen? Where you're surprised by the lyrics?
You mean lyrically?
Yeah.
Well, no, Phil writes all the lyrics. Nobody else in the band writes the lyrics. No, we're used to, it's been such a long time that we've been a band, we're really used to his writing style, so nothing really surprises us. It's just, we know what we're going to get.
I'm waiting for like a really awesome love song.
Well, there's some of those, surprisingly, where you would never think that because he's such a political, like, angry guy. But, you know, there's a lot of heartfelt songs in there that metal kids make fun of us for.
That's one of the things, though, that's cool about your lyrics is you don't know. I mean, you can interpret them being about the government or about a relationship or about religion or about, I mean, it's,
yeah.
They're specific, but they're vague enough.
Yeah, and which is the cool thing about music. You leave it up to, you know, anybody who listens to it can make it into whatever they want, you know. Which, mm-hmm. And Phil never, when someone says, like, oh, if it's like a love song, they're like, oh, who is that about? You know, Phil never wants to talk about that because it kind of takes away from, you know, just make it about whoever you want it to be about.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. So there's two instrumentals on this album. An intro and...
Yeah, technically one. I didn't know that 10-second thing was going to be... and that was not... I think we're just using that as a separate track just to get our track requirement on a contract. But there's only one technical instrumental. That other 10 seconds is part of the other song.
And that's Calculating Loneliness.
That's the regular instrumental, okay. Yeah.
So how did you guys know that that should be an instrumental? Why were there no lyrics written for it?
Well, see, the thing is... It's funny these days, and this is going to sound kind of bad, but, you know, record labels still want 14 songs. And, you know, it's like, it's in your contract. It's like, oh, we need 14 songs. We need 12 for the album, and we need another one for Best Buy, and then we need another one for Japan, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you put the record out, you release three singles. Those are the only three songs anyone cares about anymore because no one listens to deep cuts anymore because everyone's attention spans are shot. No one listens to full records. You just hear whatever's on the radio, and people like it, they go buy that single on iTunes, or they go steal it. So it's really frustrating to have to write 14 songs on a record nowadays. Before, it was like cool, because you knew people were going to get the whole thing, pay attention to all of it. Now you kind of feel like you're wasting your time. So sometimes it just gets to the point towards the end of the writing process where just like, we're going to slap a minute and a half of an acoustic song in there to get a track in there, because it's like, why are we going to write another song when there's going to be six songs on the record already that no one's going to pay attention to ever?
Right.
And we'll play them live and people just stand there. And it'll be our favorite songs on the album. But it doesn't matter because it's not a single. There was no video for it. And people don't dig as deep anymore.
Yeah.
For if I'm listening to a Guns N' Roses album, I don't want to hear Sweet Child of Mine. I don't want to hear Welcome to the Jungle. I want to hear the other songs.
That's
right. But people aren't like that anymore.
Yeah, I'm still old school. I still,
yeah,
you know, buy it when it comes out.
I am too. I want the whole thing. I want to listen to every song. Sometimes the bonus tracks are my favorite songs.
Hidden tracks, open up the, you know, leaflet,
yeah,
check it out.
On the deluxe version, like if you don't, sometimes I'm surprised by some artists will put some of their best songs only on the deluxe versions. I'm like, why would you leave a song that good out of the regular release? You know, I don't understand that, but it's such a different thing with the internet nowadays, so.
So I wanted to ask you, since we were kind of talking about, you know, the way music's going and the quick satisfaction and things like that, Guitar Hero, Rock Band, do you think it's breeding more musicians, like kids, to get into the music and that otherwise wouldn't have, or is it breeding crappier musicians?
No, I think it was good for a little bit there because, you know, it's a lot of younger kids opening them up to good bands, like classic rock bands and, you know, good rock bands, and just instead of like every kid growing up and everyone's going to listen to Pitbull because it's on the radio or he's in a Bud Light commercial. But sorry if you like that. But I don't know. The weird thing is I don't hear about... I know Guitar Hero went out of business. And I don't hear anything about Rock Band anymore. Does that even exist anymore? Because we had a really good thing going with them for a while. We had so many downloadable packs where you could put a bunch of our songs on there. But I haven't heard...
I guess it's been a couple years since I've seen anything about it.
I haven't heard about a new rock band in so long, I forgot it even existed. But I think for a while it was really cool, but it's just not around as far as I know. But I'm also out of touch.
Yeah, well, I'm a little too. So you live with Adam from Killswitch.
Yeah.
So have you heard the new Killswitch?
I've had it. I had it for a while, yeah.
I've had it for a week.
He was nice enough to let me have it way before I should have. And it's so good.
It is. It's from start to finish.
Oh, God, it's awesome.
I'm
It's funny, it's not even out yet. I'm already sick of it. For a month, I listened to it every day, like three times a day. And I was like, now I'm already just like, okay, I got to give this a rest for a while.
I do that too. I tend to listen like 5, 10, 20 times until you've got it all the way down. I love Always. That's good. But I was curious, do you guys collaborate? Or you're probably not home at the same time often.
No, that's the funny thing about this year. Every time I get home, he's gone and vice versa. So we don't, he's our producer. So obviously he collaborates with us on our records, but we don't do anything with their records. I know, I think Phil sang on one of their records a long time ago just for fun, but nothing like, no like dual action thing happening. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. A tour would be cool too.
Yes, that would
definitely
be very
need to do that.
Good.
So after this tour, what's next?
We only go home for 10 days and then it's right back out with, we're doing a lot of radio festivals on the weekends, and on the weekdays we're doing club shows with Volbeat. So that'll be from the end of April all the way to like the first week of June. I think at the end of June we're going to go to Europe.
Festivals over there for the summer?
Yeah, I think so. And then a lot of radio festivals all summer because of the success we've had at radio. Like we go... Whether we're on tour or not, if we're on tour, we'll just play as many as possible, or if we're home, we'll just fly to them. So, tons of radio stuff, maybe South America in there somewhere. And we just got back from Japan. So, just tons of shows. It'll be shows all year.
So, the last release came out about 5 months ago. When do you expect the next one? Think another year out?
I would say late next year. Yeah, usually it's like a year and a half, 2 year cycle for us.
Anything else you'd like to talk about?
I'm pretty boring, like I said.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no problem.